discouraged with trouble in your life. He'll bear your burdens and bear all your misery and strife. Thank God we
come this far.
The other day I heard a man say he didn't believe in God's word. I can say that my God has a way. He's never failed me yet. Thank God we've
come this far by faith. Oh,
is hard to take the first step when I don't know the way. Each turn is so uncertain. I learned to walk by faith, but you gave me a promise. Lord, I will be there. You will lead and guide me. Lord, I do believe.
Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go.
Say a single dime can feed a hungry boy or girl with nothing to eat. So he pulled a dollar from the pocket of his jeans, and he asked his mama, how many will this feed? She just smiled, and when she told him 10, he reached back in again. What if I give all I have? What will that gift do? My child, a gift like that could change the world and feed a multitude. He didn't close his eyes or turn away. I can see him standing tall. He saw the need, and I can hear him say, what if I give all? 3 birthday dollars could have bought a special toy, but he reminds me of another little boy who gave to Jesus a gift of fish and bread. I wonder if he said, what if I give all I have? What will that gift do? My child, a gift like that could change the world and feed a multitude. He didn't close his eyes or turn away. I can see him standing tall. He saw the need and I can hear him say, what if I give all? And long ago, a father and a son saw the children wrapped in sin. Can you see the tears in his father's eyes as Jesus says to him, what if I give all I have? What will that gift do? My son, that gift will change the world and free the multitude. So what if I give all I have? What will that gift do? My child, a gift like that could change the world and feed a multitude. We cannot close our eyes and turn away when we hear his Spirit call. We see the need, now let him hear us say, what if I give all? So what if I give all I have? What will that gift do? It will change the world, you see. So what if I give all?
Amen. 13. Tonight for our final message, the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. And once you find your place, if you'll stand with me, for just a moment, if you're physically able, I'm going to read one verse. We'll look at maybe a couple of other passages very quickly tonight and close our conference with this thought here in mind. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 23. The Bible says, much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for meeting with us this week. And we can sense your presence from the very first night of being here this Wednesday night, that your people are concerned about what you're concerned about. And all of us face so many different things in life, and sometimes we look at our situations, our circumstances, we have a heart, a wanting to do more. And I think about the song we just heard about, to you it's all about giving our all, making the most of what we have. It's not about how much we give. God, you are not impressed with any of our abilities. You're not impressed with the resources we have. You're only impressed about a heart that's given to the work of God. And I pray tonight that you'll help us to leave here with that thought as this church takes its final faith promise commitments for the upcoming year. I pray that each man, each woman, each young person will simply give his very all. You have made us, put us where we are, given us what we have. And Father, help us to make the most of what we have, not to feel guilty about doing more than someone else or because we do less than someone else. Help us to have the contentment in our heart that we're simply making the most of what you have given us. And we'll thank you for it. Take me as your servant. Cleanse me of any sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. About 25 years ago or so, I was preaching through the book of Proverbs and entitled the messages, and I was doing it on a Wednesday night at our church, Practical Precepts from Proverbs. And I was simply thinking about that, and I came across this particular Proverbs that I prepared and preached on March 28, 1990 to our church. And over the years, I've learned to use this as a kind of a wonderful message to be able to use in a missions conference as I think about missions and all that we have. A practical precept that I want us to just get the thought from tonight. Now, you understand the land of Palestine was made up of a lot of small patches of land. And the bulk of the food that was gathered together didn't come from one or two large farms that were planted and cultivated by a few people to feed all of the people. The bulk of the food came from a lot of small little patches of land, insignificant when you may look at it. I mean, you obviously you look at a big, large field and you look at all the opportunities and you say, this can take care of a lot of situations. But in the land of Palestine, the way the food was gathered from all of these little insignificant patches of land, the person that owned that land would simply cultivate it and do the very best that he could with it. And the God would send the rain, send the sunshine, and then all of those little patches would produce a little bit here, and you gather it all together, and it would feed the multitudes. And I saw that years ago. I thought about us. I thought about how we are used. I thought about the fact that the God in heaven looks down upon his church, and he looks down upon men, women, boys, and girls. I think about even how a choir is made up. In Crossroads Baptist Church, we have a wonderful choir. I think that I can look in the choir there where I pastored church for so many years, and I think I have five of the best soloists that you'll find any place in the country. I mean, any one of them could get up with the talent and the gift that God's given them. My son, Kenny, who's the pastor now, that's 36 years old, when he was 13 years of age, he became the church pianist. So for all of those years until he became the pastor, I don't care what kind of song it was. I don't care. He could play by ear. He could play by reading music. I mean, we used to do a lot of different songs that required all kinds of parts. He could play every simple one of them. And we look over there. As a matter of fact, we used to have piano players that would go to Bible college and come to our church, graduate with a degree, and when they look over at him play, they were afraid to play. So as a result of his a phenomenal playing over the years, we don't have a piano player. And now that Mike is sick, he has to go to the piano and play a little bit, come back and lead the choir a little bit, and then sing a little bit and preach a little bit. But you look at all the gifts and talents that God places in the church. And sometimes in a choir, when you have those fantastic soloists that get up there and stand, as we heard Carmen singing here, we've heard other people, you stand out front and you look out at the congregation to see all of those people that are listening to that soloist sing. And then you have a little alto back here that's kind of accompanying that and helping that solo sound good. And sometimes you intimidate and said, if I had that kind of a talent, if I could sing like that, if I could play like that, look what I'd be like. Well, that's not how God builds his church. God puts the altos in there and the tenors in there that may never stand behind the pulpit and sing a solo, but they are valuable to how the choir sounds. And that's the way he does with his church. He says, well, let me tell you something. He said, I'm God. I give every talent. I provide you health and strength. I give you everything that you have. I choose what I'm going to give you. Every saved person has at least one talent, one gift to be used in the local church. God sometimes blesses some people with more than others, but God's not concerned about that. He is balancing his church so that the church working together, that the person who sings the alto part or the tenor part or the bass part in the sight of God is just as important as the person who sings the solo part. And so what God's looking for is not giving one or two people a couple of large pieces of land to feed to multitudes. He's simply looking to give every person a little patch. And if you'll make the most of that, God will take care of the multitudes. And when I learned that years ago, I developed this message, what I've entitled, Making the Most of Your Little Patch. Now, unless you are different than the church I've been in and most independent, fundamental Bible-believing churches, God didn't choose to put millionaires in most of his churches. Now, if by some way you have gotten away with being the millionaire in Shining Light Baptist Church, and if you got away with it, the reason the pastor knows that he doesn't have any because you haven't given like one of them. Amen. So I'm going to assume tonight, just because, you know, sometimes you can assume things and you're wrong, but I'm going to assume based on the offering that I see posted here, there probably are no millionaires in here. And there's probably not a whole lot of people in here that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars because you have appeared to me tonight and throughout Wednesday to be a pretty spiritual crowd that's simply trying to go a little further and do something for God. So if I'm wrong, don't tell the preacher until I'm out of here that you are a millionaire making a whole lot of money and just been holding back. All right? Now, if you are a millionaire and you want to tell him that you've been that way, but Brother Barber came and preached and you got convicted and you're going to start giving like that, that's okay. So I'm going to assume tonight that there are not a lot of large landowners in here or people with a lot of money and a lot of gifts and a lot of talents that you stand out that we ought to write about in the sword of the Lord. Probably what we have here tonight, a group of people where everybody has at least a little patch. And the thought I want to leave with you tonight is simply this. Are you making the most of your little patch? That's all. Are you pulling out the weeds? Are you taking the fertilizer you have and putting it there? Are you scratching around and taking and saying, I've got a little talent. I've got a little bank account. I've got a little job. I have no job. Well, that's the patch that an all-knowing God gave me. And for the cause of world evangelization, I'm just going to make the most of it. That's all he ever expects out of his church. After all, God chooses how he wants to bless any of us. If he wanted to, he could give all of us millions of dollars. If he wanted to, he could make all of us be talented enough to preach, to teach, to sing, to do all of that. But he didn't choose that. But there's not a single one of us that he hasn't at least given a little patch. And he says, much food is in the tillage of the poor. I like the way the Spirit of God recorded the Word of God. If I were preaching tonight from Proverbs chapter 13 and the verse read like this, much food is in the tillage of the rich, the majority of you will sit back and hear and say, we're not going to get much tonight because we don't have a whole lot of rich folks here. But God said, I want you to understand, much food is not in the tillage of the rich, but much food is in the tillage of the poor. In other words, those that are insignificant.
That's good.
If they'll make the most of what they have, then God says, I will produce much out of it through my local New Testament church. I've preached around and been enough places to see God take what seems to be insignificant, where people put their heart in it, give their very best, and God has made the most out of it. Oh, I'm glad tonight I serve a God who looks at the heart. And if a man, woman, boy, or girl desires to know God, to be used of God, to give for the work of God, I believe the God of heaven who spoke the universe in being and in 6 days reached down and grabbed the dust of the ground and breathed in the man into man's nostrils the breath of life. I believe that God will see a heart who wants to make the most of what he has, and God Almighty will make that possible. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. The first thing he talks about is the worker's responsibility, the position of the worker. He says here, and we won't, for the sake of time tonight, look at, but in the book of Luke chapter 16, it talks about the responsibility. If I'm a worker, regardless of my circumstances, regardless of what I have in life, there are two things God requires of me as a worker. He doesn't want me to spend time thinking about what I have or what I don't have. He simply wants me to take the little talent or the little ability or the little resource and realize that I am to be a responsible servant. I'm to make the most of what God has given me before I can ever expect God to give me more. I need to make the most of what he's already given me. And we see that in the Bible when it talks about the talents. If I don't make the most, and by the way, there's a principle in Luke chapter 16 about if I don't handle material things in the right way for God, don't expect God to let me manage spiritual things. It's important to God how I handle what he's given me. I have a responsibility as a servant. And there's a requirement of me that's found in Luke chapter 19. He says, the picture of the talents, he says, occupy till I come. Hey, Christian, here's what you're to do. Here's what you do. Don't focus on how much you have or how much you don't have. Simply do this. Occupy, do business for me with what you have till I come. So I've got to look tonight. Hey, God, I don't have a whole lot, but are you making the most of what you have? Are you being a responsible servant that says, God, I'm going to make the most of the little bit? Are you being the kind of steward that says, I'm doing business with my talent. I'm doing business with my time. I'm doing business with my treasure. I'm doing it for Almighty God. And God said, that's what I'm looking for. Shining light, I'm looking around this congregation where I chose not to give Pastor Dawson or Pastor Baldwin Amen. Any millionaires. 34 years I pastored one of the great giving churches. I believe in the world, but nobody ever let me know that they were a millionaire. I never had anybody give hundreds of thousands of dollars. But I tell you one thing, I've had some men, women, boys, and girls, from the homeless to the medical doctor and everybody in between, to say, you know what? I got a little patch. Amen. I got a little patch. Mm-hmm. And I'm a steward. Yeah. And as a steward, I'm responsible to make the most Good. Of what I have. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to manage the little bit God has given me so that God will give me more to manage. And if I don't manage the little bit God's given me, don't expect God to give me more to manage. And I'm a servant, and I am a worker. I'm here as a Christian to do business for God until he comes. So the worker's position, find yourself tonight. We're not so poor that I can't manage what God's given me for His honor and glory. So when you make your faith promise tonight, all God wants is for you to make the most of your little patch. You don't have to be praying tonight, give me a big field, God. Just let me make the most of my little patch. And if we take all those little patches, put them all together, you'll go beyond, far beyond what your gold is. Because you know what you do? You give some hearts to Almighty God that He'll pour out some rain, pour out some sunshine, because you have worked it for Him. So He says the worker's position, He calls it the poor. And then the second word in that verse, in verse number 23, much food is in the tillage of the poor. That word tillage is a great word. The work we understand, the patch I have that's given to me by God, but the work performed that's left up to me. In other words, I have no control over what's given to me. That's all up to God. And by the way, if I'm right with God, I'll be satisfied with what God's given me. I won't find myself making excuses like some people do. I don't have as much as so-and-so. I can't give as much as so-and-so. That's not what it's all about. What are you doing with what you have? Much food is in the tillage. The word tillage means that what little bit I have for God, I've got to work it. I've got to have some perseverance. I've got to bathe it in prayer. I've got to have some patience. Why? I've got to make sure that I'm tilling that land. Weeds grow. Sunshine can't get there unless the weeds are pulled. I'm to be on my knees and bathe it in prayer. Come to church. Be faithful. Make it available. Beg God to help me use that patch for His honor and glory. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. So the worker's position, he puts the poor person there, so he eliminates everybody who thinks they're poor. The work, whether you poor, rich, or in between, your little patch still has to be tilled. You've got to work it. You've got to put something in it. You've got to bathe it in prayer. Every person in here should have been praying that God will lay upon your heart what you're to give. If we understand why we're doing it, I ought to be bathed in prayer, persevering, keep at it, keep going. And then I want you to look at an illustration here that's found in Matthew chapter 25. Let's go there for a moment. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. The worker's position. What's my responsibility? I am a servant who has a responsibility. I am a steward that ought to be doing business for God. The work performed, I've got to work it. I've got to till it. I've got to put something into it. I've got to pull the weeds and make sure that the work is performed. Because what I'm looking for is what the first two words in that verse, much food. He says, much food is in the tillage of the poor. So we dealt with the poor first. That's the worker's position. Then the work performed is that I've got to till it. I've got to work. I've got to turn over the soil, pull out the weeds. But what I'm trying to accomplish is what we need to have in our commitments in world evangelization. I've got to look at fact, if I do work, and I do till, and I do make the most out of what I have, my little patch. The promise is much food, much wealth shall be produced for the child of God, regardless of his circumstances, if he works at what he has. And I want us to see the wealth he talks about as he gives this illustration that's found here in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse number 14. You follow along. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. By the way, we see in this illustration here, God gives gifts and talents based upon our ability to handle what he gives us. You ever thought about sometimes that maybe we don't have more because we don't have the ability to handle more? If I don't do a real good job at the little patch that I have, what makes you think I'm going to do a great job if I had a big field? If I'm too lazy to pull the weeds out of the patch, I'm certainly not going to pull the weeds out of a big field. And he goes on to tell us, verse 16, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Here's a servant and a steward that's being responsible, doing business for God. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Unfortunately, this is where a lot of God's servants are. They make excuses, become idle. I don't have much. I don't have 5 talents. I weren't given 2. I was only given 1. So therefore, that's an excuse for me not to do anything. We become idle. After a long time, verse 19, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. Notice what he said. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Verse 29. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now, I want you to think about this story here about the talents. And let's think about what he said in Proverbs chapter 13. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. We find the worker's position, he calls him poor. That means every single one of us can fit in this situation, because every saved person has at least 1 talent. At least 1 talent. Some in here have more than 1 talent, but everybody who's saved has at least 1. Now, I'm to take that 1 talent, or 2 talents, or 3 talents, or 4 talents, or 5, whatever God's given me, and then I'm to till it. I'm to work it. I'm to put some effort behind it. I'm to maximize its potential. Do everything that I should. That's what I can do humanly. I can pray. I can persevere. I can give of it. I can honor. I can tithe off of it. Give to the Lord. Give to mission. May not be as much as someone else. I can do whatever I can to the best of my ability before God. Now, he says, if I forget my position and I go and till what he has given to me, the promise is much wealth will come out of it. Well, let me show you from this passage what he says. And here's the promise that God gives to the man, woman, boy, or girl who makes the most of what he has that will produce an abundant harvest. Two promises from this parable here about the talents that God says, I will give to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who makes the most of the little bit or the lot that he has. The first thing he says, if you work hard with what I've given you, the first thing I'm going to give you is eternal recognition. Look at verse number 21 in this passage where he talks about the one with the five talents. He says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Look at the one who had the two talents down in verse 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Here's why I need to make the most of the patch that God's given to me as a servant and as a steward, because God promises if I make the most of my little patch, he's going to give me eternal recognition. Now, here's a problem as Christians today when we think about giving, we think about doing things. We look for too much earthly praise, earthly attention, pat on the back, names in the bulletin, mentioned from the pulpit, when we ought to be giving, praying, going, working. If I never got a pat on the back, I never got praise, ought to be looking for that day when I stand before the Master and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, we got to come to the point where eternal recognition ought to mean more to us than earthly rewards. I don't labor for what I'm going to get out of this life. I ought to be satisfied and thankful enough for salvation that I ought to give him my time, give him my treasure, give him my labor. I'm working because one day I'm going to stand before the beamer, see, and I'm going to listen for God to say, well done with that little patch. Well done with that little talent. You never sing a solo, but you work hard to be an alto, to be a tenor, to be able to sing. You never were a preacher, never were a teacher, but you were faithful to come to church every time the doors were open. You gave of what you had, prayed for missionaries, worked behind the scene. Well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. So he gives us in the wealth he's talking about, that wealth is eternal recognition. But then in verse number 29, he knew what we're like. We're saved by the grace of God, but we're still flesh and still human. And we still look for earthly rewards, even though we're guaranteed eternal recognition. So he said in verse 29, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. You know what he's saying? The eternal recognition is there for my attitude, my hard work, and what I give. But God, who created us and made us, know that we are human and we like receiving earthly things. So he says, eternal recognition is going to come from me. But if you take that little patch, you be a good steward, you be a good servant, you work it for me and use it for me, I'm going to give you some earthly rewards. That's where the sowing and reaping comes in. If I take my little patch and do my part to till it, let him give the sunshine and the rain, he'll produce something out of it. And not only will I use it for his cause and his honor, but he'll also bless me with it. How many people in here tonight can say, you, since you've been given to the work of God, you have been blessed yourself in return? That's the kind of God that we serve. Hey, he has no problem with us being blessed by him when we use our little patch for his honor and glory. So God says, I'm not man. I'm not impressed by what you do. I just want you to understand, I gave you the little patch you had, and I don't want you to become idle and hold back and make excuses because you don't have what somebody else had. You do have a little patch. To hear the testimony I heard about the young lady here talking about her husband. Years ago, young lady, when I was pastoring at Crossroads Baptist Church, I had a lady in my church whose husband was lost. He was a businessman, very successful businessman. And she used to come, and she worked in the business. She worked for the president of, she was the secretary for the president of Howard University Hospital. So she had a good paying job. They made good money. She had two little boys, and her husband was lost. Matter of fact, her husband was so anti-God, he burned the Bible. Now, I led him to Christ before he died and preached his homegoing service. But back in those his lost days, he didn't want her to go to church. My sister lived between where she lived and the church. Sunday morning, she used to dress her little boys like they were going to play soccer. And she would drive them over to my sister's house. And then they would change into church clothes. And then they'd come to church. And then she'd drive them back to my sister's house. And then they'd change back into soccer clothes, and they'd go home. She kept the finances for the business. So she came in to me counseling. She'd always, and still today, she's been in our church 31, 32 years, still one of the best givers in our church, still owns a business. He's home with the Lord now. But she came to me for counseling one day, and she was talking about what she wanted to give. And I said to her, I said, Carolyn, so let me tell you something, young lady. I said, you can't take your husband's money that he tells you not to give to the church, and because you have control of it where he doesn't know, you can't take it and put it in the church because God knows. And I said, here's what you need to do. You need to go lovingly, sit down in front of him, and tell him that God's burdened your heart to be able to give, pay tithes, give your offerings, give your missions to the work of God. And you need to go have that conversation with him. And if he says no, you can't put a dime of his money into this local church. She went and sat down with him. Not only did he let the boys come to church without being hypocritical and hiding and changing clothes, he allowed her to tithe and give off of his money to the local church because he appreciated a preacher telling his wife to do what was right to honor God. I remember my mom was a housekeeper at Washington Hilton years ago. And at the Washington Hilton, no housekeeper could be off on Sundays. And my mom went in and sat down with the boss and said, sir, I work hard Monday through Saturday, but I want to go to church. I want to worship God on church. That means I'm a Christian. That means a lot to me. She was the only housekeeper. Now, a lot of the other housekeepers got mad with her, but it didn't matter. She was the only housekeeper that the boss gave off on Sundays. Hey, we don't have to. God's in the business of changing hearts and changing lives. All God ever expects out of his people is to look at your circumstances. Don't let your circumstances cause you not to do what he wants you to do, but stay within those circumstances. Make the most. If it means doing what this young lady did, and look at the results of what Carolyn did or what mom did, you do what honors God and leave it up to God to produce much wealth out of your efforts to do the best you can with your little patch. When you make your commitment tonight, just keep this thought in mind. Don't think about your circumstances. Don't think about other situations. Just think of one thing. In the sight of God am I making the most of my little patch? I'm cultivating it, doing the best that I can, and I want it to produce the most. I'm going to do it to honor God because eternal recognition is important to me, but I'm going to let God produce the most out of it. And keep in mind, he's not going to look at the amount as much as he look at the attitude you have toward his work. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. Are you making the most of your little patch? Our Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to serve you. And I thank you tonight that we're about to make a spiritual decision that's not based upon large pieces of land, but the gathering together of a lot of little patches that you've given that you want to be used to evangelize the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray tonight you look at the heart of every man, woman, boy, or girl. And the question tonight, are we making the most of our little patch? Maybe tonight some people have just been idle because of what they feel they cannot do. Maybe tonight they simply need to go back and make the most they can. Do what they can do. And I pray that you produce much wealth through these little patches because the people simply are doing the best they can with the little patch you've given them. And I pray that we will see you work and do that which cannot be done ourselves. And then, Father, I pray tonight you help all of us not to concentrate so much on earthly rewards, but we're to focus our attention upon eternal recognition. What a difference it makes in how we serve. Now, you're blessed tonight. If there be one here tonight who's never been saved, the great reward that anyone could ever receive is the salvation that's given to us through Jesus Christ. You bless now this final invitation and all the decisions that will be made tonight, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. And as the instrument plays tonight, I want you to just think about your little patch. Maybe tonight, before you make your final decision, you might want to come tonight and find your place in the old-fashioned altar and just talk to the Lord.